Baker Mayfield, undraftable, off my board.
The Cleveland Browns select Baker Mayfield.
What's happening, guys? Welcome in to, it's the first time we've done a live show of this variety in some kind. It's the OBR Film Breakdown. We are going to have our good friend, smart man, colleague, coach, all the above, John Stephenson, join us in just a moment. We're going to go through our cover one, cover three. We call it closed coverage discussion. We have done, if you have not gone back and checked these out, again, these are in video and audio form. So if you listen to it and you want to go back and watch the visuals, or if you just can watch it on YouTube, that's helpful too. We have done defensive front breakdowns, gaps, techniques, huddle on the defensive side, some terminology thing, run fits. We've done all of those over the course of the first two videos. If you want to come to understand some of those things, what the gaps are, what the techniques are, how run fits work on a basic level. So as a defense collectively tries to form the wall to stop opposing teams from running, we have all of that. John took a vacation, lucky guy. I had to stay here and talk football with you. So I talked about offensive stuff because that's where I'm most comfortable. So I talked about huddles, simple huddle stuff for the offense, how that works, how play calling works, how the things from beginning to end, from formation to motion to protection to scheme, all work. Talked about that. We talked about basic offensive principles with personnel groups, 11, 12, 13 personnel, 20 personnel, 21, what it looks like on the field. And then we talked about pre-snap communication, dummy calls, all that stuff, stuff I really love to talk about. So I didn't mind jabbering your ear off there for 40 minutes on that solo. I probably wouldn't allow anybody to talk much. So it worked out pretty well. But we're going to get back to defense now. We'll get back to offense eventually. We're going to get back to defense. We're going to talk about coverages because we talked about stuff up front to an extent that I think is acceptable with basic football knowledge. So the goal of what we're trying to do here, again, is if you're watching the Browns on Sundays, you can identify, hey, if someone says that guy's supposed to be contained, he was supposed to be D-gap, or that run fit was A-gap, or that guy was in the three technique, or whatever, those basic things you can understand. Now, coverage is too. So when you're watching the game, trying to understand why Baker Mayfield threw somewhere, why the Browns made a play, and how they made an interception, what that coverage is, why is Tony Romo calling that cover three, you have an idea. That's what we're trying to do. Not trying to talk down to anybody, saying you don't understand it. Some of you do. But the goal, if you show up to these, is to understand certain things maybe you didn't understand before. So I try to bring in smart people to do that. Welcome back in, John. How are you, my friend? Is he there? He's on mute.
Ooh, technical difficulties. Here we are. Thanks for having me again, Jake.
What's up, man? How are you?
I'm still on vacation.
I'm jealous, man. I don't get a vacation for a while. So let's share the screen and let's talk some coverages, okay? So I'm going to put this up, see if we can get the technical side up. If you're listening to the audio, once again, we will try our best to be as descriptive as we possibly can. It'll probably, once again, best serve you to check out the video form if you ever can. I'll have the pin up here in case you need to highlight anything. And again, questions are welcome. Questions during this live show are great. We'll try to cover them. We will also try to answer anything. Maybe if you're watching this, you don't want to ask on the main chat. You prefer to DM or prefer to put questions up in the Ask the Insider section on the OBR or email us at the OBR. I'm Jake at the OBR. You can email me any questions, things you want answered. We are more than welcome to help. Okay. We'll try to keep up the comments section. So if anybody has anything to fire away, they can feel free. Let's shift over here and start though. All right. So we are going to go through basics, as much basic stuff as we can. So let's talk about, give me first, we say open and closed coverage. It's kind of like a insider football jargon that I think even, listen, I was playing as recently as 2011. We didn't call it that, but I understand, like, we also didn't call, talk about this on the last Chalk Talk, we didn't call personnel packages by numbers where I came from playing either. So explain to folks at a rudimentary level, John, why it's called open or why it's called closed coverage.
Okay, so What open and close refers to is what's happening with the deep defenders in the middle of the field. So you'll often see coverages referred to as MOFO, M-O-F-O for middle of the field open, or M-O-F-C for middle of the field close. So if we're looking at a middle of the field close coverage, that means we have a single high post safety. So we have a safety shutting down the middle of the field. So this is going to be your cover three. This is going to be your cover one. Your mofo, your middle of the field open, those are going to be your two high coverages. So that's going to be your cover four. You know, Browns play a ton of cover four. We'll look at that later on. This will be your Tampa two, your two man or two lock, your two deep safeties, five underneath defenders. It just all refers to if there's a post safety sitting there shutting down the middle of the field. That's it.
And we should talk too about when you hear cover one, cover three, cover four, cover six, cover eight, cover, there's a whole bunch, cover nine.
Mm-hmm.
The number in most cases at the basic level, which is one, three, four, two, is who's playing the deep portion of the field. Okay. That's typically what the number is come to understand. If it's cover four, you got four guys playing the deepest layers of the field. If it's cover one, you got a single guy playing the deepest layer of the field. Cover two, you guessed it, two guys playing the deepest parts of the field. Cover three, three equal players playing these parts of the field. So we're talking one and three. Typically, in cover one and cover three, you'll have a single middle of the field player. Sometimes if teams play cover one, they will push that player to a side. Maybe they're shading a really dominant receiver, so they'll go to a side. They'll pick a side ahead of time and try to disguise it. There's a whole bunch. The thing about defense and coverages is you're always trying to confuse somebody else. So the deception part makes it challenging. But to the base level of what John is saying, when you think middle of the field open or middle of the field closed, if I'm a quarterback and I'm looking right down the middle of the field, right behind the center's butt, straight down the field, do I see one defender playing that area or do I see two? Because if it's two, it's typically going to be open. The middle of the field's going to be open. Doesn't mean it can't get shut down when a throw is thrown there, but it's open. If I see a guy splitting the difference right down the middle, I call that closed coverage. They have closed the middle of the field. Okay? So I will shut up. Keep going, John. We're going to talk. We have up here a slide here that I think we're leading off with. Basically, we covered that. Yeah, we're base zone one.
So this is just a cover three. Cover three screenshot I pulled from, I believe this is Jacksonville's 2018 playbook. So it's almost identical to Seattle's earlier, like their Super Bowl year playbook. I think this is Gus Bradley, same coaching staff. There are links there. So these playbooks all look the same. They just have different color schemes basically by the team. Like the Browns probably look almost exactly like this, except it's orange and white and black. And, you know, they might have some different terms, but this is the playbook. So yeah, this is one of their base cover three calls, and the format's interesting. They always have along the very top they show it lined up against an I formation, true fullback, tight end, which is I think is interesting because you don't see much of that anymore. You don't see as much of it anymore, at least. But this is always their base look. They always have an essence, and the essence is just sort of a basic description and philosophy of the coverage. So in this case, you see Frisco is an eight-man under family defense. So we talked about an under front a couple weeks back, and I believe it was our first episode. So we know that we talked about close call. We talked about flex calls, where's our slot receiver and so on. So we're starting to put this all together. So each of these is going to have an essence to describe the coverage. It's going to have coaching points. It's going to have adjustments, and you can just kind of keep going through here. There's no need to go through all the details. As Jake said earlier, there's a ton of jargon there, so we're not going to worry about that. Looking at these alignments here, there are a couple things that I want to note before. If you look at the top, that the first and second play, one and two there, you're going to see in the upper right-hand corner in red font, seam alert. So we're going to come back to that in a moment, but seam alerts are important. And really, I am. All seam alert part of me describes is a situation in which we have a slot receiver. So it's a situation where we could get a vertical route up the seam. And generally it's going to be from a situation where we have speed at two, like not a tight end, but a true, a wide receiver, an X or a Z, whatever you want to look at. So that's going to impact how the cornerbacks, pardon me, play their technique. And we're going to look at towards the end of this, we're going to look at a mistake from last season where the Browns gave up a touchdown because the cornerback didn't do what he needed to do there based on the formation. So if you look under the cornerbacks, you'll also see Reed. And I believe at one point on one of these slides, you'll see Zebra as well, Zebra for zone. Those are going to be important a little later on. And past that, you can just kind of get a feel for how things align. You notice that the our big end and our defensive tackle, they're aligned opposite the Y or opposite the close call again, because this is an under front defense. You're going to see the rotation from the safeties. Like this defense uses what's called flex side rotation. So your flex side is going to be the side with more true wide receivers. So if you go down to number four, for example, they call that formation Detroit there. Yeah, you can see that we have a Z and an X next to each other. So that's going to be our flex side is going to be the right side. And the safety is going to rotate down to that side right there. And this is going to be true for all the calls on this. Let's see, you can keep it moving here. I'm sorry, I don't remember what I had on the third slide there. Okay, so this is another cover three look. However, this is with a nickel in the game. So
we should say too, John, real quick, is teams can come out in this. What's important to understand, and we're going to look at clips too, is teams can come out and have an open field look. They can have what you're always checking as a quarterback is where the hell are the safeties? Because the safeties typically tell you a lot. They'll tell you what sort of cover. They give you ideas of what the coverage is going to be. So as you step up to the line as a quarterback, I see two deep safeties split. I'm thinking in my mind, I'm thinking it could be cover two, cover four, two man, something with two high safeties. Now, what defenses love to do and what we're referencing here is off the snap, those safeties move. Okay, it's like a pulley system. One goes down, one goes up. This is what you're talking about with cover three. And in essence, it can sometimes be cover one if a strong or free is going down to cover whoever they're assigned to cover in a man situation. But they're going to rotate. So when you're breaking down data, when folks at like Pro Football Focus break down data or as coaches break down data, I would get a report that would say how many times did the defense go from open to close coverage? What that means is how many times did you come up to the field pre-snap and see open middle of the field coverage after the ball is snapped when the defense moves, then it closes. As you can see in these pictures here, this looks like, if you're looking at the top left, you have two safeties high pre-snap. Once the ball is snapped, this is where the guys are going. These directions are where they're moving. So this free is rotating to the middle to play his third. So this goes from open pre-snap to closed post-snap. Sometimes teams will start with a closed pre-snap and have just one single high safety, trying to confuse the quarterback, get him thinking, hey, maybe it's cover three, cover one. That's the indicator here. And then they'll wheel a guy back and play post-snap open. So teams will go from one to the other. You know, we look at Baker Mayfield's data. You know, when I'm trying to find how well is Baker doing reading defenses, I'll ask, what is his grade when the defense goes from open to closed or closed to open? Because if a team stays in open to open, meaning pre-snap it's open and post-snap it's open, that means they're not using much deception. Likewise, if they stay closed and closed. I want to know when a quarterback has to really think when a team goes open to close or close to open, how well is he able to handle some of those differentiating coverages that go from one pre-snap look to one different post-snap look? So just keep that in mind. Teams can show you a look and then change it. They'll take an open to closed approach. I mean, interrupt you, John, but that's just something that you should think about when you talk about defense, especially at the NFL level, maybe not even so much at the high school level, but some colleges start to get into disguising this stuff too. But especially when you get to the higher levels of college, you got to look out for, because what defenses want to do is get the quarterback thinking it's going to be one thing and then it's something completely different. Quarterback has to hold on to the ball, right, John? And then it's a sack. That's how you're creating pressure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'll add too, when it comes to disguise in the NFL, really, the safeties are just a starting point, because these guys are such superior athletes. They can rotate in and out of things very, very quickly and very easily. And they can come from a lot of unorthodox spots. So the safety look becomes just your first piece of it. And then it's a matter of looking at your slot defenders or your inverts. Are they inside a line? Are they outside a line? You know, where's the corner at? Is he playing divider rules? You know, what's his depth? It's just, you got to take all these various pieces of information and, put them together to arrive at, you know, the correct answer there. We can keep moving though off the slide here. I just wanted everyone to get a peek at a typical playbook. Again, you'll see some seam alerts up top here. Again, seam alert to receivers in the seam. Look at number two. That's a good start right there. So you'll notice next to the corner, you see zebra bail. So we have two different types of technique. We can get zebra, we can get read. Again, we'll look at that in a little more detail, but short answer, to this is that zebra is just the way of saying zone. So the corner's in a situation where he could get vertical routes from one and two. So he's got to be able to play both. So it it changes up his technique and what he needs to do. Yeah, we can keep moving.
Okay, let's start looking at some live. Well, let's look at the essence here.
Go ahead. So here we go. This is a screenshot I pulled from a presentation that Seattle's defensive quality control coach gave to a very fortunate and lucky high school staff several years back. So I don't remember his name, but this guy was with the team the year they won the Super Bowl. I think it was 2013 or 14. So this was the very first slide he shared with them, breaking down this defense and specifically the cover three scheme. So again, this essence is just basic philosophy, sort of the whys and the what they want to do behind, and really why they decide to play cover three, why they want to play so much of it, why they spend so much time installing it and repping it and teaching it and so on. So the big three here are first to eliminate explosive plays. Cover three, we have three deep defenders. We want to build a 10 up top. We want to force the ball down low. We just don't want to have the ball thrown over our heads. So no seam routes, no post routes. Number two, we're placing all our stress on the intermediate pass defenders. So we'll get into our intermediate pass defenders in a moment, or what we call our hook droppers. But this is important because I know particularly last year on the OBR, we spent a lot of time stressing that this team's got to get comfortable with the scheme and it takes practice. And it's just not something that's going to happen overnight, particularly with the lack of practice time last summer. So with the design here, the our underneath inside droppers, they have a ton of decisions to make. They're dealing with a ton of information. They've got to cover in space. So it just takes time to make these route matches automatic. And it's frankly, they're growing pains. And we saw many growing pains last year. Number three is that kill zone. So the idea behind this is we want to build that 10 deep. We're placing most of the coverage stress on our intermediate pass defenders. And then we want to force the ball out low. We want to force checkdowns. Then we want to route to the ball, make a nice vice tackle with the defender on each hip. And, on third and 10, for example, force the check down, get the fourth and six or fourth and four, whatever. We can keep moving here. Okay, so Ohio State runs the same system or very similar system. So I wanted to pop this slide up as well. And you notice there are a lot of, there's a lot of universal language here. There's a lot of congruency between the two. So we looked at this previously when we talked about the run game a couple weeks back. So we know that, another advantage of playing single high defense is you can stay gapped out versus the run, meaning that you can assign one defender for each gap available. So if you have six gaps, you got six defenders. If you have seven gaps, you have seven defenders, and on and on and on. Again, three deep players stay on top. We're playing everything deep to short, so we're building that tent. No seams, no posts. Force the check down. Again, you see stress on underneath droppers. So our inside hook defenders, the guys that really have to move and have to think. The top right-hand corner here, force the ball. I believe it was force the ball to the kill zone or check down, something like that. Sorry, I got cut off. That wasn't a very good screenshot. But this is a vision defense, and I want to emphasize this too. So you can get into conversations about what constitutes, a pattern match defense where you're just reading routes and sort of distributing or deciding who's responsible for what based on, the routes the receivers run versus a vision and break defense like this, where our guys are going to spend about 90% of their vision is going to be on the quarterback. So, when they get into their drops, they're going to take a peek to each side because they are related or sort of their technique and their angles and their depth and their width, all that is determined by what their indicator tells them or what a certain receiver does. So they're going to get a look at it, but most of their time is spent with their eyes on the quarterback in the backfield, sort of sliding with his front shoulders, again, to force that ball out to your kill zone underneath. We'll keep that going. Okay, so very, very briefly, this is going back to that Seattle presentation, and we have something called indicators. So an indicator is simply something that tells the zone defender what to do or gives them a hint as to what to come. So pre-snap or before the snap, indicators could be the formation, getting into tendency. So maybe when the team's in, let's say, 2x2 doubles, two slot receivers, they like to run these three concepts right here. It could be things like where exactly the receivers are lined up, things called splits. So maybe the X receiver is much closer to the core of the formation than he normally is. You call that an X nasty. That can be an indicator. post-snap, things like generally your indicators are going to tie in with routes. So like number two to the flat, for example, that's the middle bullet point there. So that just means the number two receiver or the second going from outside to in, he's running a flat route. So when you see that type of thing, you get a lot of your quick game staples like curl flat, like dragon, that's slant flat. RX, X nasty, again, looking at the that nasty split we talked about. Again, these are just little, sort of tips and tricks and techniques and things that your defenders are going to focus on in order to give them a sort of a clean look at the play and tell them what exactly they can do. Keep that going.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Again, more here. I'm not going to go through these in detail. It's a ton of jargon, so we don't need to get too caught up in that. But again, what I want to emphasize with these two slides is that this is not even a comprehensive list of all the indicators that a player is going to need to consider pre and post snap. So there's a ton of information. The reactions have to be automatic. It has to be quick. Otherwise, you're not making the play. So I think this really just helps illustrate why in that essence they say that you're going to place all this stress on your underneath droppers right there, because there's just so much to deal with.
I think it gives you an idea of how, as fans, as we watch on Sunday, we have like a 5% understanding of all that goes into this. There's so much stuff that goes into these things on the field that we just don't understand. And I just think that people can sometimes miss it. And I think that can be,
we're trying to teach you here, but even the basics, as we look at cover three zones, do you think there are probably five or six check play would have that we won't even talk about, that probably people wouldn't even catch, right? Just little checks, little calls, little things that happen pre-snap.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There's tons of detail in every snap. It's just these guys have to process so much information. It really blow your mind just how much is going through their heads.
It really is, man. It's wild. Let's look at the basics of what it looks like on the field.
All right, so again, this is a three deep, four underneath coverage. So we've got our outside deep third players. These are our cornerbacks. Again, this is an MOFC, or middle of the field closed defense. So we have a post safety up top there. Pardon me. And then looking underneath, we have four defenders. So our outside guys, I have those listed as curl flat here, but in this system, they call them buzz defenders, BUZZ. So buzz and curl flat, you can use them interchangeably. It's the same thing. Our two inside guys, these are our hook defenders, or sometimes you see them called seam defenders or seam hook, but hook's a little more universal than a curl flat versus buzz. But the important idea here is that we recognize that we have two outside underneath defenders and two inside underneath defenders. And again, just to give you sort of an idea, obviously this is not to scale, but to give everyone an idea of sort of the areas in which each of these players need to cover, or breaking up the field into a total of seven zones. Although really my clip art or whatever, my shape art here is pretty poor. Doesn't really give a great, great feel for how much area they actually need to cover, but just another way to envision it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you're talking again deep third coverage. Who's playing those deep thirds? And that's something that we talk about all the time as we go back and forth, three deep, four under, just talking about what they were trying to do. So let's look at some of these examples. There's a question that just popped up here. It's a good question. Would this mofo cause the ball is on the left hash, the middle of the field looks open? Yes. Yeah. So if I'm up at the line of scrimmage, I'm calling this pre-snap. I know there's a discrepancy between the height of these two. They're not parallel, but I would say, based on if I'm looking at this, I would say that's pre-snap, middle of the field open. Okay.
Yeah,
that's just what I would call it. Now, would you call it the same?
Well, it's going to, and I'll be honest, when I took this screenshot, I don't remember how far along, you know, pre-snap they were. I mean, I remember it did go to cover three. I think the safety moved more towards the center of the field. Like, they weren't really trying to disguise the coverage here.
Okay.
In terms of what they did. It's a snapshot. It's a moment in time.
Yeah, this moment in time, I would say open. But there's so much stuff. These guys, these two safeties, they walk around so much that they'll just be dancing and talking. You can see this man down here pointing. They give it away. If he starts to cheat over here middle, this high side safety starts to cheat a little bit pre-snap, I would call it closed. But as we sit here and we're talking, if I'm just looking at this moment in time, this is open to me, okay? But we'll see. I mean, I'm not sure I would label it that way. We'll look at better live examples, actually.
And again,
we can talk to them.
Everything moves. Everything's fluid. And you,
as you can see here.
And you can't just look at the safeties, particularly in the NFL. You have to look at the outside, the invert defenders. You have to look at the cornerbacks. You got to put all that together to tell the story. Because, again, they're going to all make efforts to disguise. So.
Yep. So this is definitely middle of the field closed. There's no doubt about it. You can see by the mirroring of the levels. Anytime to me you saw a corner turned outside butt to the sideline, it's zone of some capacity. Okay. If it's man, he's not going to give that one-way go. All right.
Yes. So this is I chose this play because it's a pretty basic setup. It's also pretty easy to see. Because both the wide receivers have very tight splits here, almost in this stack. Our cornerbacks are outside leveraged. Obviously they can't get too far inside versus something like this, and then have these guys running outside breaking route. It's too much distance to cover. And in fact, the cornerbacks will determine if they're aligning outside the number one receiver, heads up on them, or inside. Again, we call that generally outside or inside leverage. They're going to determine that based on divider rules. That's too much to get into, but the gist of it is, depending on where the ball is spotted, so whether it's on the left hash, right hash, middle of the field, and then based on where the receiver is at, they're literally going to use a measurement to tell them if they should be outside or inside. And it's all centered around ensuring that there's a defender in the middle of the field and in each seam. So
real quick, John, I'll say, if you guys have questions about like personnel stuff, who's going to start? Troy, I see your question. Ronald, I saw your question up there earlier. We'll get to those at the end. We'll answer those. Who do we think is going to start stuff at the end? I just want to keep this on concept stuff for now. Promise we'll get to them. Keep going.
So your cornerbacks are generally going to open with their butt to the sideline here. Again, they're zone defenders, and it's really important to understand that cornerbacks in cover three are responsible for verticals to their side. So we could get, let's say, a nine route and a seam route from a number one, a number two in the slot. The cornerback has to be in position to play both of those. So in cover three, really your worst nightmare is when you get four verticals, because you have, it's just a game of math. You have three deep defenders, you have four vertical routes. So that there are various ways in which you can handle those, but you're going to be short. So your cornerbacks have to be in position to play both. You're going to see them open up. You're going to need safety, get in depth right there. You're underneath defenders. And I didn't mention this before, but both your buzz players and your hook players are going to have aiming points they're going to start with. And again, these are generic, and it's based on the ball being in the middle of the field. But your buzz defenders, your outside underneath guys, they're going to aim for about 8 to 10 yards, 8 to 10 yards deep off the ball. And you say two and through the numbers. So they're going to open. They're going to get depth going towards the numbers, and they're going to read the number two receiver and react off what he does. Does he go vertical? Does he release inside? Does he release outside? There are just a ton of rules, and this is also where your indicators come in. Your buzz defenders, they're going to aim for, we'll say, 10 to 12 yards, pardon me. 10 to 12 is fine here. Aiming for the hashes or just outside the hashes. But again, their drops are going to be dependent on how the receivers distribute, what happens with their indicators. Like, do they get a fast three to their side? Does the running back run to the flat? Do we have those X nasty splits? Again, all that information. So the aiming points, I want to say they're more than suggestions, but they're certainly not ironclad rules, because things are going to happen. And Although again, this is mostly this is a vision and break defense. So most of the time is spent with these underneath defenders, you know, looking at the quarterback, visioning the quarterback, but they're going to take a peek as they're making their drops, as they're setting up. So, those are pretty good rules of thumb to, you know, I guess to live by.
Simple mesh from the Colts here. Yeah. If you remember, this was a nice little Ronnie Harrison concept. Pick. Yep. You're trying to feel out these two middle crossers. Again, you get a little pressure. Phillip holds on to the ball too long. I'm not sure what he's looking at here, and it's an easy jump pick on that late. You never throw late to crossers, man. Never throw late to crossers.
Yeah. So
again, he is a Hall of Famer. So go ahead.
Can you go back to that play real quick?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, to the beginning there. Yeah. So I guess as the play is running, just look at the four underneath defenders, particularly. You can see just eyes on the quarterback. And what they're taught to do, as the play is happening, is they melt, M-E-L-T, like, you know, melting cheese. So what they're going to do is look at the quarterback, and they're going to read his front shoulder. And as his shoulder turns to one side of the field or the other, they're going to move with it. They call that, again, melting. So the reason you do that is because, you know, the quarterback's going to throw the ball wherever his shoulder's pointing, right? So you want to put yourself in the best position possible to make a break on the ball, to click and close. So, in fact, this
there
is
a really is. Nice. Click and close. There it is.
Yeah, that was for the tweet earlier. Wanted to get that in for our guy.
That's Randy. Okay, let's look at another one here.
So again here, yeah. So it's again, three deep defenders, four underneath defenders. This is a vision defense, so eyes on the quarterback. We have some indicators here. We have nasty splits from both receivers. We have motion. Again, we're built on a wall. By our divider rules, we're working with our cornerbacks are going to be aligned outside here because the receivers are so close to the core of the formation. I can run it here.
If I can get my display to work right, that'd be nice.
Oh, yikes.
Yeah, there we go.
Okay, so you know what? And I chose this play because this is a great play by Ronnie Harrison on the top of the screen there. So he's our he is our buzz defender up top there. So this was one of the indicators we saw on the list, actually. This is called an OVS, which stands for outside vertical stretch. So that's a fancy way or a jargony way of saying that the offense is creating a three-level read on the right side of the field. So they're going to have a vertical route. I think it was a corner route in this case. They're going to have some sort of 10-yard out route, and they're going to have some sort of flat route. I think it ended up being from the motion play right there. And in fact, if you go from the end zone on down, you can see them building that three level right there. We got that corner route in the end zone. We got that guy around the 10-yard line. We got a flat route there. So this is a common way to attack underneath zones right there. So what they're trying to do is create a high-low on Harrison. So they want him to essentially, if he sinks and gets depth to protect against that out route that's breaking about the 10-yard line there, they're going to throw the ball down low, which, by the way, is what the defense wants to happen. However, if he jumps that flat route there, they're going to throw the ball over his head. So your defenders use what's called sail technique in this case. And again, keeping it as simple as I can, it's almost like a V. So they're going to open towards the sideline. In fact, if we can go from the front right here, what the defender's going to do from the beginning of the play is, take it back a little further there. So he's gonna open again, going to and through the numbers. Oh, okay. So you can see them. He's aligned over the left end there as we run, and you see as he gets through the numbers, he's gonna turn his back towards the sideline and he's gonna hinge. So this is his sail technique. He's in a position where he's taken away the intermediate route with his body because he's getting depth or he's getting more towards the end zone, but he's taken away that flat route with his eyes. He's in a position where as soon as that ball's out, bang, he's gonna click and close. He's gonna make a break on the ball. They're gonna force it short. That's the kill zone right there. That's essence of the coverage. And they're gonna make a tackle. Yeah, so this is a great job. Like this is great technique. This is exactly how they coach it, how they coach a buzz defender when he's being high load like that. Let's see. So this situation right here, can you run the play, Jake? I'm sorry,
It's a nice Malcolm Smith interception, reading the front
shoulder. Yeah. So again, this is a great hook drop right here. So again, our two inside defenders, we call them hook droppers. We're aiming just outside the hash, 10 to 12 yards deep. In this case, Malcolm Smith is the strong hook dropper. So he's going to relate to the number three receiver because we have three possible receivers to that side. And this is a great example of melding. So again, he's gonna slide with the quarterback's shoulders as he, you know, sort of scans the field there. And you know, his hips are square, he's facing the line of scrimmage, you know, 90% of his vision on the quarterback, but he's peaked, so he knows what routes are happening. You know, he probably sees that route on his peripheral vision setting up right there on the 30-yard line. Yeah, as you're gonna see him slide here as soon as you play it again. I kind of slide, and then as soon as the ball's out, he's right there. Yeah, it's just a great example of Melton. Notice also the free safety up top. So I haven't really talked much about this yet, but this team, or the Browns, use something called a 60-40 drop from their free safety when they have seam alerts on. So what that means is, rather than the free safety just playing in the middle of the field and sort of looking equally to each side, they're going to cheat him to one side or the other. So the side he's cheating to, that's his 60% side. You know, the side that he's cheating away from, that's his 40% side. So they do that. Well, there's several reasons they do it, but that, I guess the easiest way to explain this is that the primary reason you want to use a 60-40 drop is because you want to help the weaker of the two defenders that would need to carry a vertical route downfield. So let's say you have the Sam on one side and you have your safety dropping down on the other side. You ask yourself, which player is probably going to need more help if they have to run with the seam route? It's going to be your Sam. So they're going to take the free safety, and they're going to cheat him towards the Sam, towards the weaker of the two. Again, it's just another way to shut down the middle of the field and prevent explosives and prevent you know, those seams, those posts. Versus trips like this, or versus 3-by-1, they use what's called a lean post technique. So in a lean post technique, the free safety is going to let's see here. Can we go back to that 3-by-1? I think this one right here. So the free safety is going to lean on the number two receiver. So if you get three verticals, we don't in this case, but if you do get three verticals, the corner will handle one, the safety will handle two, and then your weak hook defender on the other side will handle number three as it comes across. So in this case, you can see he's almost cheating that way to pick up that vertical route. So that's by design. And obviously, when you're if you're the cornerback to the weak side, to the single receiver side right there, you're gonna play this isn't true man, but you're playing more like a man technique because you can't guarantee you're gonna get help from that free safety because he's leaning away from you. So you have to play the defender much closer. So what they probably tell the cornerback there was, unless the receiver immediately releases inside, then take him in man coverage. He's yours. Pardon me. Yes. All right. Again, more cover three here. Okay, this is a really nice route match as well. You know, I chose this just to emphasize. Again, our getting to our aiming points first. Like, watch the hook defenders. You can see them get into outside their hash and setting up. You see they're going to open their hips. So they also have a role with this. It's called when he sets up, I set up. So as soon as the ball snapped, you see they're going to take a drop step and they're going to open their hips, you know, eyes on the quarterback, but their hips are almost like at a 45-degree angle. They're going to do this to get depth. You know, they don't want to just backpedal straight backwards. They're not DBs, and they're not going to get very deep like that. They're not going to be able to get to there, you know, their 8 to 10 or their 10 to 12. So as soon as the quarterback sets up at the top of his drop, they're going to square up themselves. Like, you get a really good view by your I'm sorry, I can't tell who that is at the bottom, but your strong hook defender right there. You notice how he squares his hips up when the quarterback hits the top of his drop. And then you see eyes. It's all they're visioning. They're feeling the routes. You'll see these underneath defenders, hook defenders take away that dig route simply by the position of their body. You're going to see your curl flat defender again. We call this a fast three, or the number three's gone to the flat quickly. So he's getting wide with them. He's getting with, they're trying to force the ball down into that kill zone. You can see your 10 up top with your two cornerbacks and your free safety. Again, no seams, no posts, no explosives. Force the ball out to the kill zone.
Okay. keep rolling. All right, now we're looking at this is the overlap that you were talking about too.
All right, so yeah, this is so worst case scenario for a cornerback in cover three is he gets two verticals to his side of the field because he has to play both. So I selected this play because I thought it really illustrated the need for the cornerback part of me to use overlap technique when the number two receiver is vertical. So your cornerbacks are generally reading 2-1. So as long as the two receivers vertical, they're going to be vertical. And what's going to happen is as they see that two is vertical, and then in their peripherals, they see that one is also vertical, he's going to try and midpoint between the two of them. See how he sort of starts bending inside as he crosses the 30 there? So he's putting himself in position where he can turn and run on either of those routes or make a play on the ball there, right? So that's his overlap, or that's his midpoint. Oftentimes you'll hear it called midpoint as well. So generally, this is what if we were looking at the playbook right now, we would see zebra to this formation or zone because he can't really stick to a specific player. He can get verticals from one or two, so he's got to be in position to play both. Now, when one releases inside there, you're going to see he immediately matches to two because one's eliminated himself. I don't need to worry about two vertical routes. I've got underneath defenders to handle that stuff, but I need to get on the number two receiver. You know, it's still running up the seam here. And again, you can see the safety using that lean drop, that lean post drop. So he's leaning towards the number two receiver. You're going to see on the other side, this looks like too high. So a lot of people look at this type of coverage, and they think that this is some sort of cover four right here. It is not, however. In this case, because the defense is worried about number three running a bender route, or run in like a deep vertical route where he crosses the middle of the field safety space and ends up on the other side of the field. They take the weak hook defender. He's responsible for that route there. Oftentimes you'll hear it called a special route. And that's another of the indicators we saw on that screen earlier. So he's going to handle that, but because they don't want him turning and running, against the receiver. So they have him pick it up from depth. So rather than, starting near the line of scrimmage and turning around and running, they're just going to start him up high there, and they're going to let him just sort of stand and catch it. And you can see him turn and match it as soon as it starts breaking across the field right there. So that's a good view of how they're going to handle these three verticals or handle this special route from the number three. So we've got our corner in position to play both one and two. We've got our safety leaning on two, and we have our weak hook defender there.
You can certainly see why the quarterback would think that number two is open here too. There's no... Mm-hmm. Even Aaron Rodgers, as good as he is, thinks he's got a nice little window there. But yeah, you're trying to shield him from the safety because you're presuming mm-hmm. the corner's going to squat outside. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden he's undercutting number two's vertical and it's an interception. So
yeah, and this is one of those plays I just love that really shows like some of the intricacies of the coverage. Mm-hmm. There's just so much to it.
Here's your 60-40 rule.
Yeah, so we've got, going back to the start, we have our seam alert to the top of the screen. So the offense is left or the defense is right. This one's really obvious. You can see how far over the safety's cheating right here. So again,
and this is a good example, too, of like somebody was asking earlier if the ball's on the hash. The ball's on the hash. If they have two receivers split, you're not going to have a single high safety sit right over the middle of the football. That's just nonsense. I mean, you got to look at what side presents the widest amount of field to cover. So this is where the 60-40 rule comes in. Now, this is close coverage, though. Just because he's not dead over the middle of the football, it's still close coverage.
Yeah,
you really, can see it just comes, coverage. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, you just can't get caught up in the open space so much as just how many deep defenders are there in the middle of the field. And again, there's going to be – sometimes it's going to look more close, like more centered. Sometimes it isn't, though, based on – it can be based on the play call, the game plan, where exactly the ball's spotted, the offense's formation. There are a ton of different factors that go into that. So this gives – this play gave a pretty good view of, you can see him leaning on number two. And that's how it should look right there. Shutting that down. Underneath, let's see. There's some click and close right there for our guy Andy again from the cornerback. I think that's Sherman at the bottom of the screen. If you look at the underneath defender, our buzz defender to that side, I believe he used his sail technique as he crossed the numbers. Again, to and through the numbers, Yeah, so he's wide. Let me get my back around. Yeah.
One more 60-40 example.
Okay, so it's another example. Again, you can see him leaning towards the bottom of the screen. So our seam alert is on to the offense's left side or the defense's right side. You're going to notice, again, that opposite the seam alert, our weak safety or our drop safety, they notice that he's playing the seam route from depth. You can see, you know, where he starts versus where his counterpart at the bottom of the screen starts at. Like, you can see he just has a ton more depth in his drop. It's not so much width. And he can get away with that because he doesn't have any.
Which one are we talking about?
In this case, our buzz defender out there. So here, Seattle outside. Used to call this right there. So they would call this a soft sky technique, which means that he's going to start with a little more depth because he's not worried about anything going to the flat because he only has two receivers to this side. You know, the running back's on the other side. The running back's probably not going to cross the quarterback's face and then run to the flat. So he doesn't have to worry about getting so much width, something going down low into the kill zone. He can stand back here and he can carry this vertical route. He's got some more freedom there. And again, you see the safety just gobbles up the seam route from number two. Our cornerback's over top number one. See, defender's setting up. Again, eyes on the quarterback. They're melding with him. They're all breaking when he throws. So we build our 10 up top, force the ball to the kill zone down low. Okay, this is an example of that lean post technique. So we have trips to the top of the screen. Again, this looks like four.
It does.
You want to rewind a little bit? Yeah, right.
You would really think that post snap, this would be cover four. Like, if you look at it at this split
right
second,
there. Yeah,
moment in time, it looks like cover four, but it's not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and you know, my chief for this, the way I tell is when Woods plays true cover four with their trip check on something they call poach, the cornerback to the weak side will play man. He'll be up there and pressed in man. When they're playing cover three, the cornerback's going to open up with his back to the sideline and play what's called his read technique, which is sort of like man, unless the receiver releases inside immediately, like let's say a slant or shallow. So, yeah, they're expecting that special route. That's an indicator, again, with trips right there. They know that a number three receiver could run that long vertical route where he crosses the safety's face. So they want their weak hook defender, who's responsible, to play it from depth. So he's going to just stand there on the 22-yard line, and he's going to turn to it and let it come towards him. And again, their cover four check plays out almost identical to this, but if you watch them enough, you'll catch it. They would man that backside if this was four. But again, it just sort of speaks again to their NFL defense's abilities to, you know, to disguise and to make different things look the same. So I kind of got ahead of myself with that other stuff, but this is just another example where I thought was a nice example of base drops with the underneath guys. You can see just opening up, eyes on the quarterback, they're reading routes, they're going to be communicating. So at the top of the screen, when number two releases in, the buzz defender and the hook defender that side are going to be yelling in, you know, to let the buzz guy, to let the hook guy know that it's coming his way. And I guess I really didn't emphasize that enough earlier, but all this stuff is communicated. Everyone's talking to everyone about where these routes are going. People are making in calls. They're yelling out. They're yelling switch. They're saying mine, you. There's a ton of communication going on. I really wish we could hear it. And, you know, they made that available in real time. Again, just to emphasize how much talking needs to happen.
That's what I like about when somebody gets mic'd up like John Johnson. They give you some brief glimpses of everything they're yelling every single snap. It's wild, man. It's like defense in the NBA. You know, it's just constant communication about exchanges and movements and helping guys who are blind, you know, guys who can't see to their right or left because they're keying somewhere else.
Yeah, I'm like a kid in the candy store with that stuff. Yeah, talk, I love it, man. So this is another example of that kill zone. So 5 yards and closer, all the talkie-talkie needs to make that tackle. But again, and I believe this was a third down play. This was like third and eight, maybe third and seven. So again, you're trying to force it down low. That's the move. Get to tackles. So going back, can you go back just back to that play there?
Sure.
Thank you. And just get to about when he breaks on the ball, just before, like right about there. So there's a concept. We talked about Melton earlier. Let me back up. So we're reading the quarterback's order. We're sliding with him based on his intentions and where he's going to go, you know, to give us a head start when we do need to break. So when you're Melton, there's coaches will say, don't melt past the check down. So what they mean by that is Taki Taki cannot get wider than the tailback at this point. He can't melt past him. He has to keep himself, you know, inside of the receiver in this case. And I think he almost melted past him right there, although I'm not sure if maybe it was the route angle, but it looks like he gets himself just a little too far outside, and that sets up his ankle to, or his angle, pardon me, and, you know, contributes to missing this tackle right here. Although, again, you would like a defender on each hip. You call this a vice tackle, so a defender on his outside hip and his inside hip. And, yeah, he needs to make that play. Let's see. Yeah, communication, absolutely. So I think DWS communication could make or break the D. Absolutely. Communication does make or break a D, as we saw last year, you know, for good and for bad. Absolutely. There's way too much going on and a vision defense like this because you know, your underneath defenders are spending most of their time looking at the quarterback. They've got to talk to each other. They're not allowed to peek. I believe this is another kill zone play. Yeah, forcing it down. Although this turned out to be a tailback screen. I think it really illustrates the idea. Like this was 3rd and 8 or 3rd and 10, something similar. Force it down low each side.
Yeah, you'll take those dump offs on 3rd and 7 plus every single time, man. Mm-hmm, it's the easiest thing in the world to defend. And, you know, if your quarterback wants to take those decisions, it makes it easy on you. Talk about cover one. We're going to go quick here. We only have a little bit of time left. I mean, just principles of it. Yeah, go ahead. I'll let you nail it.
Oh, we lost Troy. He said we're boring as fudge. He's gone. Okay. Peace out.
Not going to worry about that. It's okay. The principle of this is not. It's for coaching points. Let's read the description. So
sorry, Troy. Yeah. So now we're in man coverage here. So we're still single high, middle of the field closed. But this is man right here. So this is the team's base man coverage. They call it 1-wide black. If we go back to that first screen.
Yeah. Go. Let me see. Did it go off? There we go.
There we go. Yeah. So self-explanatory, your corners are going to cover the receivers, the Z and the X. Notice in that second picture that they do travel. Your strong safety is going to drop down, play the Y. Your Sam, your Mike, your Will, they're generally going to do something called banjo. And oftentimes it'll be just your Mike and your Will. So they're going to, they're going to read the running back's releases. So if the running back, or in this case, the fullback between the three of them, if they release, if let's say the tailback releases to my side, I have my man coverage. If he releases to your side, you have them. It's sort of an in and out type thing there. And that's pretty consistent all the way across. So again, our essence here is man-to-man defense, middle one-third, and a low plugger. So that plugger is going to be an extra pass defender. He's going to sit there and he's going to rob the middle of the field. So oftentimes they'll be referred to as low hole or high hole defenders. So the high hole, say 10 to 15 yards deep, middle of the field. The low hole is more like 5 or 10. So the defense is going to pick up an extra defender just to rob anything that's inside breaking, anything that's, you know, coming that way. Again, lots of coaching points. This is with the motion. I think, you know, I included this to show that the corners are going to follow the receivers around. Looking at like number 2, for example, that Zoom Pro. See, the corner is going to follow, so they could be on the same side of the field together. Let's see. This is a nickel version. So same defense. We got a nickel in this time. And again, so this is we're good there. But this is a great example of our man with our low hole dropper. So we start again, going back to the disguise that you talked about, Jake, earlier. We're sitting here too high, you know, could turn into a lot of things here. So what's going to happen is, yeah, that's our rotation. So we're going to get our field safety. I believe that's Carl Joseph. He's going to drop down.
And you can see, like, this technique looks completely different than what you were seeing earlier. The butt's not outside. It's like – and now sometimes, don't get me wrong, guys, like, they're going to disguise this. And right once the snap hits, maybe Denzel turns his rear end to the sideline and hops out. Like, everything in the NFL is like – doctorate level stuff, man. Like these guys are like, you get guys from the college level who have played in these systems, learn these things. You've interviewed them before the draft. You know that they can handle the things you're bringing them in here to handle. And this is, you know, like we said, it's guys who have an understanding of some of the most intricate things in football. So this disguised stuff. But again, sometimes it's not. Sometimes they just line up and run it. Like that's another thing that they do. Like this case, I'm thinking if I'm the quarterback, I'm Dwayne Haskins in this situation. Not that he was thinking a ton last year, but I'm thinking it's either two man or I'm going to get some sort of closed look. They're going to roll down and rob. That's all that I can think of it.
I think they were trying to set up two man or two lock. And you know, oftentimes the slot defender is going to give away whether it's man or zone. So if the slot defender's eyes are in the backfield, it's probably going to be some type of zone. If his eyes are on the receiver's hips, then it's going to turn into man coverage. And again, you can see what Joseph is doing right here. He does a good job robbing from that that backside dig that comes in from the top of the screen. Again, he's dropping down. He's just looking for plays seam to seam. Anything that's inside breaking, he's going to read the quarterback's eyes. He's going to match it. Our cornerback at the top of the screen needed the help.
He did. SMJ Stewart, who they want to replace, Troy Hill is going to be better in the slot this year. I don't think there's any denying that.
Yeah.
And if they bump Greg Newsome inside, which they did a little bit in minicamp, they can play him there. They'll play JOK. So the question here about the scheme is that much different. I don't think it's entirely too much different. I think that Notre Dame ran very similar principles. I think that they ran a little bit more too high. They had that Kyle Hamilton kid who I think is good, Houston Griffin, their safeties. They played them all over the field, but they mixed it up. And I think JOK will be put on an island covering tight ends. If they get, you know, a big tight end that they want to bump into the slot, Eric Ebron types, he'll be out there, man. And he's good at it. He can handle that if they want to stay in that personnel package. Mm-hmm. But this is, this is nice because you get pressure. I think Claiborne gets inside pressure here, which is rare for him based on his nerve issue. Inside pressure. Ooh, a little spin move there.
Spin move. Yeah.
That was a beautiful spin. It's back in Haskins' face, and Haskins throwing a hash to opposite field number 25-yard lob, and Denzel would probably be so pissed he didn't end up picking this off, but I don't think he knew that guy was coming from us inside.
And, you know, going back to that question really quick too, when it comes down to it, cover three is still cover three, cover four is still cover four. So different systems are going to have different names for them, but there are not really significant differences between anything anywhere you go. It's like I said, there's only so many different ways you can play cover three, for example. So from what I remember, Notre Dame did play, like, I guess what you consider more of a pro-style type defense, not like the Nick Saban cover seven stuff, for example, you know, tight front, that sort of thing. So I would say that he already has a lot of experience playing as an underneath defender there, definitely.
DW, to answer your question, Troy Hill is one of the best in the league right now playing the slot. He can mix coverages up. He'll deceive. He'll do a whole bunch of different things. He was really good in that Rams defense doing just this role. Delpit, we're going to have to see. I don't know. I thought he was fine at doing it at LSU, but I like Delpit more as a post safety personally. So we'll see how that all shakes out, because I think Grant has some great deep center field instincts, and he covers ground, like really covers ground. So that's the last one I have, though, John. Anything else to add to 1-3 before we go?
No. This is good. Thanks for having me on, as always, Jake.
Of course, man. Make sure you guys are following at All22 Chalk Talk on Twitter. I know this is a lot. If it's not going to be for everybody, this stuff. I mean, it's like you can watch the NFL and not know this stuff and be okay. But if you want to know the intricacies, the stuff behind it, what it looks like, why they're doing it, there's something that you're watching here that is pretty esoteric. That is, I think, if you include baseball and basketball, the stuff hidden in football that goes on play to play is so much deeper than any other sport. It's crazy how much goes into plays on both sides and what teams are trying to do to trick, deceive, and all of this stuff to the opposite side of the football. So we will do cover two and cover four next week, open field coverages, talk about why they use them, why they're great for certain defenses, and talk about them with the Browns too. So, yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed it. If you have questions on this, if you want to know something else, something more interesting about it, shoot them over, man. Those questions will always be there those answers will always be there from us. John is the guy to go to for any defensive stuff. I can give you some things, but John is the deep dive guru on this stuff, and that's why I love having him here to answer questions and help you out. So we will, like I said, do deeper coverages, cover two, cover four next week, and then maybe shift back to offense the week after that. So appreciate you guys joining us, whoever did, sticking around. Spread the word about this if you want people to know some of these things you learned, and and we appreciate your support. So thanks for sticking around and being here, guys. And again, ATI with your questions, ask the insiders anything else, DM us on Twitter. We'll always answer them. Thanks again. Have a good night, and go Browns.